This is The Source on KSTX, a product of the Texas Public Radio Newsroom. I'm David Martin Davies. How's this for a trade? 6,500 manufacturing jobs and an investment of more than $4 billion in exchange for the right to sell your cars. That could be the deal that's on the table in Texas for Tesla Motors. Sounds intriguing, but we don't know if that's actually being horse traded. But what we do know is that Tesla makes a great car. It's electric, it's a hit, and the current state law prohibits the selling of those Tesla vehicles in Texas because Tesla does not go through the franchise model. Now Tesla says it wants to build a gigafactory, a factory that would build these massive batteries. That's where the 6,500 jobs comes in. Four states are being talked about: Arizona, Nevada, New Mexico, and Texas. We're going to be talking about the Tesla, the car, this factory, and the law that prevents the sale of the vehicle here. And we invite you to join the conversation. The number is 614-8980, 614-8980. Do you think that Tesla is being unfairly singled out, not being allowed to sell its vehicles? Do you think that these auto manufacturers association, the dealers, have a good thing going on and they should be able to keep that happening? Give us a call. Send us an email to thesource@tpr.org. We're joined this half hour with the Texas Tribune reporter Jim Malowitz. He covers energy for the online newspaper at texastribune.org. And Andrew Wheat, he is a research director for Texans for Public Justice. Welcome to The Source, both of y'all.
Thank you. Howdy.
So, Jim, what is Tesla? Why can't they sell their cars in Texas? What's up with this franchise model?
Yeah, and it's a good question. And so basically, you know, this franchise law doesn't apply, you know, only to Tesla. You know, it applies across the auto industry. But basically, it prohibits these direct sales to cars to customers. The car manufacturers need to go directly through dealers first. And the idea is it's just general antitrust law. The philosophy is to sort of limit monopolies.
Right. So if you want to buy a car, I can't just go online and buy one directly from Ford or whoever. I have to go to a dealership and I've got to buy it there, right? That's in the law.
That's correct. And folks in Texas who do want a Tesla, they can still get these cars delivered to them. They can buy them online. And there are these galleries in Austin and Houston where they can see these cars and check them out. But the law is very strict in that it prohibits employees at these galleries from discussing the price or any logistics of the car. The employees can't even unwrap a car for a customer, you know, once it's delivered to their house. And so, the electric automakers like Tesla are saying this really hinders them because this is sort of a new product, it's a new expensive product and prospective buyers really need in-depth information about it. And they're saying that they're not able to provide that. And it's just kind of a willy-nilly, you know, crossing your fingers that folks are going to go online and buy the car.
It certainly doesn't sound like the open free market that Texas politicians like to talk about, and the lack of regulation, get government off my back. That doesn't seem to apply in this case when it comes to allowing Tesla to sell their vehicles in Texas. Andrew Wheat, a research director for Texans for Public Justice, and you track a lot of comments where people lobby and campaign donations and things like that. How powerful is the Texas Auto Dealers Association?
It's legendary. You know, it was really the power of that trade group was built up by a former lawmaker who became a revolving door lobbyist, Gene Fondren, who's now passed away. But they really have an incredible reputation as a trade group in Austin that calls the shots. And Fondren and his team helped draft a auto dealers law that's been a model for auto dealers in other states. And it's really quite draconian. I mean, this is a car dealer's cartel. As, you know, Jim was saying, if you walk into one of these Tesla galleries in Houston or Austin, you can't take that car for a test drive. They can't quote you a price. They can't even direct you to their website. It's extraordinary. So here we are in a town of Austin where Michael Dell came up with his model of direct sales of computers to consumers. And we can't begin to talk about doing the same thing with automobiles. And it's kind of an extraordinary thing. It's really a cartel. And what interested us about this case was here you got a billionaire coming into Austin with a lot of star power in the last legislative session. And he's asking, he's got two things. He's got two companies he's pushing. One is SpaceX, a private space venture to go into outer space. And he wants Texas to pledge to provide public funding, taxpayer dollars for that initiative, as well as to shield them from any liability if these rocket ships blow up and hurt somebody, which is a pretty big ask. And Texas legislature said, sure, to both of those. They gave it to him. Then he has what seems like to a lot of people a relatively modest request. I want to be able to sell Teslas directly to consumers in the state of Texas. And he gets nowhere. What's the difference? He's got lobbyists hired on both sides. The difference is one, in one case, SpaceX had no organized opposition. In the other case, he came up against one of the biggest, baddest trade associations in the state of Texas. And that I think, is the key difference. And now the problem is, of course, he's got this proposal to have this huge investment in a battery plant, and does he really want to build it in a state where he can't even sell his cars?
Wow, and so also when you think about the car dealerships frequently are the biggest generator of sales tax in many counties in Texas. They wield a lot of power in Austin and also in the local level.
That's right. These car dealers, of course, are active in just about every legislative district across the state and have been for years. So if you look at the money Tesla had in the last session, eight lobbyists breaking in, less than $350,000. The auto industry, the dealerships, had 26 lobbyists that were being paid $780,000. More importantly, the dealerships pumped $2.5 million into campaigns in the 2012 session. And Musk, you know, didn't have a pack, this billionaire, and he dropped $7,500 on lawmakers.
That's chump change. Chump change. All right, we're going to continue the conversation. We got to take a break. We're talking about the Tesla vehicle. Why can't it be sold in Texas? There's a law saying that it can't happen. There could be some good reasons behind that law. We're going to talk about that. We're going to continue the conversation. We invite you to join the conversation. Also, what about this big battery factory? Could it come to San Antonio? Could it come to Texas? Maybe it's all a big part of this negotiation. And SpaceX down in Brownsville, they're saying that's a done deal. We'll find out more about that. Give us a call. The number is 614-8980, 614-8980. You could also email us your questions and comments to the source at tpr.org. We will be right back. Stay tuned. Welcome back to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about Tesla, the vehicle, the electric vehicle. It's beautiful. People want to drive it. And this Tesla Gigafactory, wherever it's located, is going to provide a gigantic boost to the local and state economy. Few manufacturing plants bring in more than 2,000 or 3,000 jobs. This one is going to create 6,500 jobs and with $4 to $5 billion in direct investment on that project. So this is what's on the table. And joining us now to talk about the Tesla situation, John Odell. He is a senior editor for Green Cars at Edmunds.com. He knows cars. He knows green cars. And John, you're saying that that Elon Musk, he's barking up the wrong tree.
Well, I'm not quite saying that. There was a headline on a piece I wrote that took it a little further than the piece actually does. What I'm saying is that Tesla itself has said that they are most likely going to be looking at a franchise dealership system some years down the road as they look to expand beyond the Model S and the Model X. But what we're saying is that that's a good road to look down. that there have been huge changes in the way, and I'm speaking globally, not speaking politically or to anything that's specific to any given state. I was listening to the conversation earlier about the Dealers Association, but just in general, car dealers have come a huge long way, and you know, today they're pretty much you can find really good car dealers that perform a whole lot of services that you just can't get in a mass market. The thing with Tesla today is its model works perfectly for it because it's selling $100,000 cars to wealthy people. It can afford they can afford the cars, and it is making all of its money on the car price. There is virtually no service or maintenance to do on that a dealer can make money on with an electric car. And this is Tesla's argument, that it's such a different product today that it makes sense to sell them directly. But when they start competing with three series BMWs in that $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 range, which is a pretty big market in this country, you know, that's a different ballgame.
And that's what that's what he's planning to do. He's going to come out with the Tesla E model. He's going after the people who buy Priuses today.
Exactly. And when that happens, what we're suggesting is that the franchise dealership model makes a lot of sense.
Isn't it true that when you do a franchise, you just don't open up franchises? You have to put them out to bid, right? It's like an auction.
It's different for different companies and in different states. But the auto dealers, or the auto manufacturers say we're going to issue franchises. The franchise laws were originally put into place because manufacturers didn't want to sell cars; they wanted to make cars. And they didn't want to go to the huge, you know, capital expense of building dealerships and staffing them and the service departments, all of that. They said, let's find somebody who, for a profit, will become our middleman and sell our cars for us. That's what happened. The franchise laws came in when dealers said, and rightfully so, hey, now the factories might want to start selling cars directly, and they're going to undercut us. And after they've set us up and encouraged us to spend all this money to build our facilities and advertise and everything else. So franchise laws went in part to protect dealers from incursions into that lucrative marketplace by the manufacturer.
Right, but Tesla, I've talked to them, and they've told me that they're afraid that when they do put out franchises and they have to put them out for, like, bidding for auction, and that these people will buy them up, snap them up, and then they won't actually sell their vehicles. They want Tesla to die, like 'cause it's too good.
No, that's a little paranoia talking. Most people in the auto industry understand completely that electric vehicles and vehicles with varying degrees of electrified propulsion systems, hybrids, plug-in hybrids, fuel cell electrics, that these cars are here to stay. They are a permanent part of the mix in this country, and they will be forever. Never say forever, but for a long, 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 long time.
All right, John O'Dell, thank you so much for joining us. He's senior editor for Green Cars at Edmunds.com. He drives a Tesla himself, right?
Well, I don't drive it all the time. Edmunds owns a Tesla, and all of the editors share it. I do drive an electric car, however. We have a different brand in my personal garage.
All right, well, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate your expertise.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so phone lines are open. If you got a question or a comment about Tesla vehicles, if you tried to buy one, you ran into a problem, give us a call. If you think that Teslas should be sold, give us a call. The number is 614-8980, 614-8980. And we still have Jim Malowitz on the line from the Texas Tribune and Andrew Wheat from the Texans for Public Justice. They're going to help us answer these questions. Sean has called in. Sean, welcome to The Source. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi, how you doing? Thanks for having me on.
Go ahead, Sean.
Yeah, I just wanted to make a quick point. I had heard, and I've heard a lot of folks who are hearing that you can't do, because of the legislation, that you can't buy a Tesla if you live in Texas, a Texas resident. And that's not true. I mean, I've been a Texas resident for 37 years, and I bought my Tesla last year, picked it up in September. And really, just because of the way the laws are set up, you still have to go through the direct buy purchase online through their website or calling directly to their support staff, and then they'll either deliver it via a third party person, or else you can pick it up at one of their service centers here in Texas and Austin and Houston. I know they're building a few others. So it's not that you can't buy a Tesla. It's just that it's a little bit harder. And the state still produces tax revenue. Once you register, I had to go down to our local tax assessors and pay the tax once I receive the vehicle. And so it's kind of a bit of a pain where you can't roll the taxes, the PT&L, like you normally would, potentially into the, if you're getting the car financed, you could normally roll it in as part of your payments. You have to pay it directly. But other than that, it's not really a big deal. I think it took me 2 hours one day.
All right. And how do you like the car?
I love it. It's I feel like I almost want to charge Tesla. I've probably put about half the miles on the car and just giving test rides to friends and people, everybody from, you know, close friends and neighbors to guys on the street who just see me and weigh me down and want to talk about the car and have me drive them around.
And people are concerned about the range. Have you had any problems with that?
You know, honestly, I live here in San Antonio, and I haven't. I've put about 10,000 miles on the vehicle. And Texas is not currently, there's only a couple of supercharging stations in Texas along the I-35 corridor in the north part of Texas. But I've been able to go to Laredo and do some other long trips with the family. And I haven't had a problem. I've been in cold weather, I've been in hot weather. And I've owned a couple of high-performance vehicles. I had a twin-turbo BMW for a while. And the rated range on it is, you know, a tank of gas would get you 260, 280 miles if you could keep your foot out of the turbos. And it's so much fun to drive. It's hard to do. And it's just like any other car. Depending on how you drive it is going to determine the range you can get out of it. And I see the way I drive with air conditioning on and all the bells and whistles and lights. And I don't try and scrimp or conserve on the energy usage. I can get about 230 miles out of a full charge. And a full charge will give me, plug it in overnight, and about 6 or 7 hours later, it's completely charged for day-to-day use. I put maybe 30 or 40 miles on it a day. And it's
all right, Sean.
Driver.
Fantastic. Well, thanks for calling in. Thanks for sharing your story and your experience with us. That's good information to know. So Jim Malowitz from the Texas Tribune, Sean tells us, wasn't that difficult to buy the vehicle? And he loves the vehicle. So it's not impossible. Maybe there's a few obstacles.
Yeah, and it's really interesting to hear, you know, directly from, you know, a customer there, and it would be, you know, probably interesting to, you know, if we were able to, you know, get a good sample size of customers who have, you know, gone for it and bought a vehicle in Texas and, you know, see how difficult it was. I mean, it sounds like, you know, Sean is a pretty educated buyer and someone who probably does a whole lot of research before he buys, so, you know, maybe he, you know, enjoyed doing that research and that kind of thing. And just, you know, in talking to Tesla officials, you know, they see the problem as, you know, it's kind of hard to get their message out to sort of broaden their customer base sort of beyond those kind of diehard people who are, you know, following the industry in depth, that kind of thing. And but yeah, it would be interesting to maybe take a broad sample size of, you know, car buyers and see what they think about it.
Andrew Wheat, Research Director for Texans for Public Justice. It sounds like if the Texas legislature was in charge of the music industry, I'd still be buying my 45s at the mall.
That's right. I mean, I think I heard what the guest caller, Sean, said, and I think the point here is, you know, yes, you can buy them. Texas, I think, is one of its largest markets. They sold more than 1,000 cars here. It's possible to do, but I think it should be possible, if a consumer's interested in them, to be able to go into Tesla and test drive one in some of the bigger cities in Austin and not have to go test drive Sean's car.
So this is a very sweet deal. I mean, this factory sounds fantastic, a great job generator. But the Texas Auto Dealers Association, they're not going to give in. So, Andrew, could they carve in an exception specifically for Tesla? They want to preserve their model for their vehicles.
Yeah, I mean, that was on the table in this past session as well. Let's just make this a limited exception for electric cars, and they were against that on the, you know, the slippery slope argument. If we start there, then where's it going to end? But I think, you know, an even bigger challenge here is our legislature only meets every other year. And it sounds like Musk is probably going to be moving at a faster rate than that. So, I mean, what are the options, really, to have a special session on this? Or, you know, it's also, of course, possible that Musk would decide to choose Texas, even despite these draconian laws on dealerships, and go ahead and put the battery plant here. But it certainly doesn't sweeten the argument.
Well, there, it seems like a done deal with SpaceX down in Brownsville. Of course, that is Elon Musk as well, not directly connected to Tesla. But does one feed into the other? Is that connected? Andrew?
You know, I don't think there's a linkage here beyond beyond Musk. Again, I think that if Musk was coming here on behalf of Tesla and asking for something that wasn't up against an entrenched established interest, he would have got it easily, as he did with SpaceX. But when you take on entrenched lobby interests, you know, you're going to have trouble. And if he wants to overcome that in the state of Texas, I think he's going to have to dig a lot deeper in his pockets.
And Jim, over on Reddit, we have a comment. I really hope this turns into an election issue. It's really ridiculous. Jim, do you think that could become an election issue?
Well, we'll have to see. And so far, you know, both you know, governor's candidates haven't, you know, been that willing to talk just, you know, straight up policy. It's sometimes hard to get responses from either campaign. You know, I did get a hold of Senator Davis's office, and, you know, and she, in a roundabout way, said, you know, no, she would not, you know, be willing to push to overturn the franchise laws. And I didn't hear back from Attorney General Abbott's office, so it's kind of hard to know to what extent, you know, this will, you know, come, you know, be a factor in the governor's race.
Sure.
And Andrew did point out something, you know, that
we're running out of time, Jim. I got to let you go. We're out of time. And also, sure. Andrew Wheat from Texans for Public Justice, Jim Malowitz, and Texas Tribune. This is The Source on KSTX.